I went camping recently for this next joke, and I married a woman who loves to camp, and I am what you would call indoorsy. I'm surprised we can still get people to camp. Hey, want to burn a couple of vacation days sleeping on the ground outside? No. What if I told you to get the crap standing up in the woods? I still wouldn't want to go. You'll wake up freezing covered in a rash. All right, I'll go.
You're listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast, the number one self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast and every once in a while in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coaster.
Hi, my name is Peter Zion. I'm the owner of Alesmith Brewing Company here in beautiful San Diego, and Beer Coasters rocks.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coaster.
Blah, 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 I want my beer, damn it!
Let me get the script up here. Hello,
script.
And welcome.
That is the funniest thing we've said on this podcast.
You're not off book.
Script.
Welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast. This is actually episode 301. That's right. We are just starting our seventh year of doing the show. This year
seventh
is
seventh year.
Yeah, wow. We're in our seventh year right now. We've done six full years. That's over 300 episodes.
Yeah, but it's only like one dog year. Or, no, wait a minute. It's like 40 dogs. No, wait, yeah. I don't know. 49 dog years?
This year is an entirely self-absorbed beer show.
I want to apologize to any of the dogs listening right now.
We are devoted to bringing you the best and worst. Can you guys hear me? Is this thing
Speaking
on?
Of worst, we're the worst right now, ruining Toby's intro.
We're devoted to bringing you the best and the worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast. And this week, in between. That's right. I'm your host. This is Toby out here in San Diego, California.
Yay.
And I'm joined by... Let's see, who's more west?
Tony's more west. He's like in the Yankees part of Connecticut.
Yeah.
This is Beer Coaster Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
And this is Tony from Hartford, Connecticut.
All right, Tony's back. I think we're going to see a couple shows ago that we're going to see more Tony on the show? Did I say that?
The Beer Coasters Podcast, now with more Tony.
So in this episode 301, we are calling it the Hoppy Camper Show. That's right. I know summer is now over, but hey, we're going to throw in one last little camping trip.
Yeah,
and
it's the best time
to
go anyway. It's the end of the summer. It just starts to cool down.
Mm. Yep. We're heading up into the mountains. We're gonna do some rafting, possibly. We're going to sit by the fire. We've got lots of cool camping-themed beers this week.
We might see a woolly mammoth up in the mountains there.
We might.
While we're, rafting, white water.
Yeah. Right.
Laying in a field.
we might see an actual Yeti riding on a mammoth in the woods.
Going over the falls in a barrel.
Right. Yes.
A bourbon barrel, of course.
Mm. Only here on the Beer Coasters Podcast. But for our fermentation conversation, we will be drinking the Kona Brewing's Fire Rock Pale Ale. We got some other beers to be trying on the show.
Other shizzes? Yeah, other beers?
Mike, what are you trying?
Well, I unfortunately couldn't get the Fire Rock. So while they're doing their little fermentation conversation here, I'm going to try a beer that I've tried a couple episodes ago, and that's the Pop-Up. I figured this is more camping theme than beer thing, than baseball, but I cheated. Pop-up camper, not pop-up fly ball. So anyway, that's what I'll be drinking. But for my tasting flight, for the important stuff for the show this week, I'm going to be drinking Great Divide's White Water.
Nice. What about you, Tony?
I will be drinking the Kent Falls Brewing Field Beer Saison Batch Number 5.
Five.
Wow.
Five batches.
Five batches with wheat.
Alrighty, on that note, let's get into our fermentation conversation.
Please.
This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
Alright, I have no information ready for this.
Conversation.
I got something.
Yeah.
You got something, Tony? Alright.
You got stuff? I know it's from Kona.
Kona Brewing? Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of them Hawaiian brewing joints.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one's probably the California brewing joint.
Yeah.
The mainland rep.
We have one in New Hampshire, too, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think Red Hook, I think, distributes for them, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're all part of that Craft Brewers Alliance or whatever it's called.
Alliance.
It's like Kona and I think Magic Hat
Brewing Alliance.
Part of that. Anyway, so this is the Fire Rock Pale Ale. KonaBrewingCo.com is their website. I've actually been to the Kona Brewery in Kona.
Nice.
Just to let you know.
Toby's been there story.
And there are
haven't
a lot
heard
of
one of those in a while.
Yeah. Well, we don't do any shows anymore, so yeah. Got to do more shows if you want to hear more Toby Bender stories, all right?
Maybe we do more shows if you haven't been more places. Does that make any sense?
Touche. Maybe.
Stop going places to talk about.
Have a couple beers. It'll make more sense.
So this comes in at, 6% ABV. It's got 35 IBUs. The malts used are pale, premium two-row, extra special malt, Carapils, honey,
yes,
and dark malt. And the hops are Millennium and Cascade. So I got a good, solid human finger of head there.
Way behind. Way behind.
Oh, you do it, Tony. Color is...
Keep talking. Keep distracting the listeners.
It's
talking.
It's very clear. There's some caramel. It's like caramel color. Almost like a cider, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it has an amber. Like when you say pale, you think it's going to be a little lighter, but no, it's definitely got some dark malts in there.
Yeah.
Do you see where the malts were?
Yeah, it's they do use a dark malt. What did I say? Just dark malt is what they call it, so.
Oh.
On the news. Ooh.
Have we done this one on the show?
Did
we talk about this? Sorry. Was I not supposed to bring that up? That's a sore
actually,
subject.
I tried this on the Pale Ale episode from season one, so it was like episode number 9.
Oh, that's like in the archives.
Or episode buried. Number 5, yeah.
Nobody ever listened to that episode.
I was on like Betamax.
Yeah. I got some honey on the nose.
Yeah, a lot of honey, yeah.
Bready.
I find that a warm cloth takes it off. No problem.
There's even a... I get that kind of...
Definitely something like a little bit of fruitiness too.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like a sharp kind of berry, fruit.
Sharp berries. Got to be careful of those.
Something like that, like strawberry or
like raspberries. Maybe have like that, like
yeah,
the little like you know pricks on the vine there.
What'd you call me?
What?
What?
Get that snozberry. Yeah.
Raspberry. Those little pricks. I hate them.
Ooh, did I just get a whiff of, like, cinnamon or something? I'm tripping.
Hello, right. Beer Coasters Podcast. How can I help you?
See, we could test it out right now if my computer was ringing. I'd pick up. We'd have a live caller.
My computer was ringing?
My computer's ringing. Hello? Hello, who is it? Computer won't stop ringing. Can someone hang up my computer?
Taking a sip, yeah. That berry flavor comes through.
Wow, yeah. It's not very bitter at all. Malty.
It finishes a little dry.
Yep.
It's got decent body.
I can't remember the last time I've had this. I mean, it's been quite some time since I've had this beer.
I do get a little bit of hop bitterness.
Do you?
Yeah. In the end, in the finish, there's a little bit of
a little bit of lingering. Yeah.
Yeah. A slight astringency. A little bit of breadiness left over and kind of sweet, but it finishes pretty clean.
It almost has like a mild, we had mentioned the honey on the nose, yeah. Almost like a sweeter honey, and then the mouthfeel, you had mentioned the fruits. It has that sweeter fruit flavor, almost like a sweet kind of pineapple, I think.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, think of like a fruit kind of like along those lines, maybe like a Hawaiian.
Like a really ripe.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of graininess in there, kind of a cracker grainy. It seems for pale ale, it seems I don't know, a little bold.
Well, you said it was like 7%, right?
6%.
Six.
Yeah.
No, I thought you said 7.
So yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just a little. It's a little higher in the. In the malt bill and
yeah,
a little higher in the alcohol, so it kind of comes through as a little more full bodied than your typical pale ale.
Definitely a little more full bodied. Yeah, the maltiness, it's a little heavier. When you think pale ale, you think, I mean, I go to like Sierra Nevada pale ale. This is, I feel, a lot heavier than a Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, it's less crisp, I guess, because the Sierra Nevada has that crispness and that bite. With this, it's a little more on the malty side.
Yeah, it's closer, I feel like, to an amber than it is a pale ale.
Yeah. Agreed. What would you pair with this, food-wise?
Kahlua pig.
I would...
Spam?
You know, we'll stay in the pig area. I will go...
We'll stay in the pig area.
I'll stay in the pig area.
Like a pulled pork taco with some fruity lime salsa.
Nice.
With the fruity lime salsa.
Barbecue pulled pork with some fruity lime salsa. All
right.
I was thinking when Mike was saying spam, I was thinking, ooh, Moco Loco.
That was the Tony I nailed this one gesture, in case any of the listeners couldn't see what just happened. He's like, I just nailed.
Boom.
I just aced my tasting.
Done.
Pairing.
Drop the opener.
Yeah, I never feel that way.
That's it. I'm out. Yeah, Toby says, sandwich.
Sandwich.
Although, whenever I drink a beer, I just give me a sandwich. Whatever. But I was thinking Moco Loco, but then I was like, no, I don't think the gravy and the egg, I don't think that would go well with this. But then you said pulled pork, and then I was thinking, ooh, maybe like carnitas? Like carnitas tacos?
Carnitas.
Something like that. I think I'll stay in the pig area as well.
Nice. I like that we're staying in the pig area.
Which area of the pig? Too.
Where are the carnitas comes from?
Carnitas area? Is there a carnitas area? The pig? Well, the pig parts are all misnamed anyway, because the butt is like the shoulder or something, right?
Right.
It's like the pigs seriously don't know their ass from their elbow.
Their ass is their elbow, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I make my pulled pork, I get my crock pot, I get some nice pork butt, some barbecue sauce. Fantastic. Mm. Very good.
Yeah. Now I'm hungry.
The weather needs to cool off just a little bit. It's a little too warm for crock potting right now, but soon.
Yeah, I mean, I could see this going with, like, chili or something like that, I think would be good. Nothing too spicy, but something with a little bit of spice.
A couple weeks ago, I had some turkey chili.
Yeah.
That was really good. It had, it almost had kind of a sweet and spicy thing going on. It was a little different kind of chili. It was good.
Nice.
I know the chili purist will say, well, there's beans in it, it's not chili, but I don't know. I'm from New England, so if it's like ground meat and beans and some spices, it's chili.
Yeah, I usually when I make, or a few times I've made my chili, I've done 50-50 turkey and beef.
Uh-huh.
Just to do a little interesting, you know. I think it's because the one time that I made it and I was following this recipe, it was supposed to be turkey, and I didn't have enough, but I had some ground beef, so I was like, I'll just do...
Why not?
I'll do 50-50.
You should have stayed in the pig area.
You might have just complete the trifecta and put some pork in there,
Yeah,
there you go.
That's a good idea. All right, for ratings...
That is the holy trinity of meats right there.
Yeah. For the Fire Rock Pale Ale from Kona Brewing Company... on Untappd, it comes in at a 3.43 out of 69,945 ratings.
Whoa.
I say damn.
And,
them's a lot of ratings.
Yeah. Tony, do you have Beer Advocate or no?
Yeah, Beer
or
Advocate.
Or does Mike have Beer Advocate?
I get. Do you have the top places on Untappd? Or?
Oh, yeah, geez. Top three popular locations.
Slacker. How many years we've been doing the show? Say it again. What year are we in?
We'll get it by episode 400.
On the beers. Oh man, I gotta get it right by then. Jeez,
clock's ticking.
On our beers ball show, Tony, I don't know if we gave
baby steps.
Popular locations.
We'll have to go back and check.
I'll have to listen back. top three popular locations: the Klipsch Music Center in Noblesville, Indiana.
Klipsch. Make some good
Klipsch
tweeters.
Yeah. Danny K's Billiards and Sports Bar in Orange, California. And People's in Oslo.
And
Oslo?
Like we're talking Nordic country there, Oslo?
I guess, yeah.
Ready for Beer Advocate?
Oh, ready.
I didn't know if you could drink this beer in Norway. It's cool.
Yeah. Beer Advocate users rate this in 82, which is, it's good.
That's what it says now, too. It says, it's good.
It's good.
Cool. Mm. Well, there you go, folks. That's the Fire Rock Pale Ale from Kona Brewing Company. Check out our Pale Ale issue, if you want to hear the very young and green podcaster, Beer Coaster Toby, reviewing this back in his early days of craft beer, whatever. You don't care. Go to BeerCoastersPodcast.com, type in...
Back when he had a soul patch.
Yes, yeah. Right. I had a soul patch.
That was BT. That was before Tony.
That's...
Yeah.
Wow.
That's our new calendar. It's written like that as well.
Yeah. Actually, if you grew a soul patch right now, you could reuse that theme.
We could.
That's right.
Could
bring it back. Two guys with beards.
Two guys with beards. One guy.
Sideburns
in a soul patch, right?
Yeah.
Sideburns in a soul patch. Bring back the sideburns in a soul patch.
giving me more work to do. Jeez.
Throwback night. Wicky, wicky.
All right, who's up next? Tony?
Thank you for joining us.
Let's give it to Mike. We'll give it to Mike.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I would appreciate that.
Aces and Ales, Las Vegas's premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles, you can even get growler fills. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with two locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler. Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, you found his
this Beer Coaster Mike. I'm going to do my tasting flight. I haven't done one of these in a while, so bear with me, folks. This week, I'm doing Great Divide's Whitewater. This is their Hoppy Wheat Ale.
Nice.
Whitewater.
Oh, they can now, huh?
Yeah. Nice. It's in cans. So, a little bit about this beer. The ABV is, well, let me tell you a little bit about the brewery. The website is greatdivide.com. They are out of Denver, Colorado, I believe.
Yep.
The ABV on this beer is 6.1%. This is a seasonal beer. This is, like I mentioned, a hoppy wheat ale. And it's actually, I didn't realize this when I bought the beer, but their marketing speak is like perfect for this week's show. It says Whitewater is an American wheat ale. See, now I'm doing a Crazy Dave here, yeah, doing the marketing crap.
Yeah.
But just listen.
No one
it's
can
good.
Snore because that'd be you usually, so keep going.
Whitewater is an American wheat ale built for exploration. The bold hop profile adds complexity to the crisp balance ale, blah, 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 blah. So it says, but it just says Whitewater is the perfect complement for any adventure. And what are we doing now? This is a beer coaster adventure.
Blah, so blah, I'm blah. I want my beer, damn it.
Want my beer, damn it. All right. Cracked it.
That was some hyper sound right there.
Yeah, that was yetified.
Hey, so, you're yeah, doing a great divide, I'm, too.
Yeah. Great Divide, home of the Yeti.
You know where Great Divide isn't distributed? Connecticut.
Connecticut.
They used to be.
Whoa, this actually... No, no, it's a typo.
Come back.
Great Divide's one of my favorites. I really like...
I think they're
guys.
One of those breweries that don't... They don't make a bad beer. I mean, most of the stuff I think is pretty good.
There was a...
There was one Yeti.
There was one... No, there was, all the Yetis are fantastic.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
No, but there was a...
The chocolate one?
There was something that they brewed. It was like an IPA that was with smoked malt, or it was like a smoked IPA or a smoked pale ale or something called the Rambler. I think it was called Rambler.
Okay.
It was weird.
The Gambler, the Rider.
It was weird.
Sounded
weird. Everything else has been fantastic from those guys.
Smoked IPA.
Something like that.
I like my IPAs in the non-smoking section, thank you.
So, it's yellow. This beer is yellow. It's, I got a little over a finger of head here. Soapy. And it is clear. It is so clear.
Hey, Mike. Hey.
Hey, you can see my face right through it.
Hey.
Sorry, Mike. The beer was called Rumble IPA, and it's a it's an oak aged IPA. So it was just kind of weird.
Yeah.
French and American oak. Yeah.
With so the IPA. French mix messed it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always walk all over Mike's tasting flights. I don't know if anybody's noticed that, but I always.
It's okay. That's what I'm here for.
We used to do that to Crazy Dave a lot.
Walk all over me. I was going to pull up something here.
We're all guilty of it.
I'm going to have time to do it.
You were going
to
pull up your pants? What?
What?
No, I don't have any pants.
You have pants on.
All right, on the nose. It is like, it's very fruity. It's like a bright, kind of juicy aroma.
Juicy aroma.
Juicy. Yeah, it's like orange and not really orange, more lemony. There's that, and also that kind of sweet. You know, you get some of the American wheat beers. It's like a really sweet wheat smell to it. No, I guess nobody knows what I'm talking about. All right, fine.
Sorry, I had to mute. I'll continue. Clearing my throat. Sweet, yeah, I know what you're saying. Sweet wheat.
Yeah.
Now I understand you. When you put it like that.
Say wheat. Wheat. Say
it's got
sweet,
a little bit
sweet,
of that great
say
divide.
Sweet.
Little piney. Little.
Carnitas.
Yes, smells of carnitas. No, it's
smells like pig parts.
Yeah. It's that whole pig area.
Tiny shoulder, little like hint of spruce. I gotta take a sip. I just can't wait anymore.
He's taking it down the rapids. Watch out!
Taking a sip, yeah!
It's a rough one.
It's, it's got, I gotta try that again, sorry.
Taking another sip, yeah!
It's got a little metallic-y-ness to it. I'm hoping it didn't. I mean, it's in a can, sealed for my protection. But I'm tasting. It's like a. It tastes lager-y to me. It's got. There's something about. It has a little kind of metallic tinge on the tongue. It's really light in body.
Does it say what kind of yeast they use?
I don't believe they do.
Or what kind of malts?
They may be secretive. No, doesn't say. Let's see, light floral notes, blah, blah, blah. No. It's just supposed to be a, basically, kind of an American wheat beer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something odd about this one.
Maybe since it's extra hoppy, did something weird.
What was it, me that just was talking about Great Divide not making bad beers?
Yeah. Well, their Yeti lineup is pretty solid.
Crispness to it, but there's an aftertaste that's kind of lingering.
Yeah.
Kind of unfortunate.
Not sure about this one.
You want to pair something with it?
Yeah, you know,
something to mask the flavor, maybe.
I don't know if you've ever. Yeah.
need some help.
If you've ever been to Ritual Kitchen in San Diego, California, they have beer battered vegetables. It's one of the only ways that I actually get to eat my vegetables, and it's like this tempura beer batter type thing, and it's vegetables, all kind like peppers. Onions, zucchini, you name it. Something like that would be interesting with a beer like this. especially I'm thinking in particular like the red pepper. They have like a beer battered, you know, tempura style, but with beer batter or with beer, and it's a red pepper. So that sweetness with this beer would be interesting. I'm really not sure about this one.
It wasn't.
This might be a little off.
It wasn't barrel aged, was it?
No, it's not barrel aged at all. It's aluminum aged.
They should put it in a barrel and roll it down the
falls. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's like the wrong temperature. Maybe, I mean, it's fairly new beer. I just picked it up. I don't think that they came out with this beer too long ago.
I think that's new to their seasonals.
Yeah, I mean, here we go. Like July 11th, it says July 11th, 2012. Now, I don't know if they had this on tap at the brewery, but that's the first time I've seen it in cans.
Yeah.
Within the past, you know, I would say couple months. I mean, it's the first time I've seen it. I can't remember seeing it last year, you know? So, anyway. Untapped users rate this 3.49 out of 2,880 ratings. That's not a lot for a Great Divide beer.
Yeah.
And, let's see, top places. Dun, dun, dun. Popular locations to drink this beer is Sam's Bottle Shop in Durham, North Carolina, Taste of Brews in Long Beach, California, and Old Chicago in Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita!
And the Beer Advocate users rate this a 75, which is okay. And I do see an old label here on Beer Advocate. A label that I don't think I've ever seen before.
Hmm.
So it's possibly a beer that they've had in the past.
Hmm. Yeah.
I just haven't seen it here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, they may have, you know, because specialty beers and stuff like that are different with the distribution, so this might have been thrown on the trucks this summer to get wider distribution.
Hey, let's get rid of some of this white water.
Yeah. You know where they're
Massachusetts. They'll take it. They'll take anything.
Give it to Mikey. He likes it.
He drinks anything.
All right. I hope you enjoyed my tasting flight, folks. That's Great Divide's White Water.
Sounds like you didn't even enjoy your tasting flight.
I hope someone enjoyed it.
The extended laughter there.
All right, Tony's up next.
All right, cheers.
Is your mic hearing? I just want to use
your turn. Your second or the third.
Shenicket.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untapped, Google+. We got our own channel on the YouTubes, and even Pinterest. Hot damn, y'all!
Back east, we've got Don Leone drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Hey guys, how you doing? Welcome to Connecticut. This is Tony with my tasting flight. And tonight, I'm going to be drinking the Kent Falls Brewing Field Beer Saison Batch Number 5, an ale brewed with wheat.
And what was the name of the brewery again?
Kent Falls Brewing Company.
New brewery!
Nice. And to add just another tie-in, because, you know, you're thinking, okay, great. We're glad you're drinking a beer, Tone, but what's this is about hoppy camper. Like, what is, I don't understand. Well, because you could camp in a field. That's what I first said. But They're located, ready, on 33 Camps Road.
Wow.
There you go.
There's your Man, connection. The connections are endless.
And when you go camping, you always want to see some falls, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
You always want to do a little hiking or maybe some whitewater rafting and then go over some falls.
Possibly. You know, just watch out for those, like, wood
nymphs. Like, mountain ranges and rocks on fire, apparently, which I don't know. That probably has the least amount to do with camping. But, hey.
Don't worry, Tony. We're making it work. It wasn't a stretch.
So, Kent Falls has been brewing way back since February of 2015.
Whoa!
Whoa.
So, there's a
They're
baby.
Just babies.
Their website.
Old school?
It's a wee little baby. Their website is kentfallsbrewing.com. And I'll even throw in their Twitter handle, just because, you know what? Why not? Is at Kent Falls BC. So check them out if you're on the Twitterverse. This is a Saison.
And who's not on the Twitterverse?
I mean, right?
If nobody
you're
on
the Twitterverse, you don't even know. It is
a different galaxy.
It is a Saison. The ABV is 5.2. The ingredients is probably the most exciting part. The ingredients is now it's an ale brewed with wheat. Now this isn't just any normal, you know, store brand wheat here. This is wheat from the Wild Hive Grain Project in Clinton Corners, New York.
Wow.
Wow.
It is also brewed with 100% of the hops that are located on the farm of Kent Falls.
Nice.
So this beer is 100% Connecticut-grown malted barley and hop varieties.
He's just rubbing it in how non-local my beer was, so he's got to be, like, uber-local.
Laying it on thick.
Yeah.
And as they mentioned on their website, coupled with a dry, pleasing acidity, it creates a distinctly expressive farmhouse ale that can carry you as comfortably through the summer sun as a cool evening breeze. Campfires recommended. Another little camping tie in there.
Yeah.
So a cool little thing about Kent Falls, a good friend of mine met a couple years ago, is the farm manager. So when you hear about places, oh, they make farmhouse beers. Oh, that's nice. Kent Falls is a farmhouse brewery. It's a farmhouse. It is a farmhouse that has chickens, pigs.
They got pickens.
They have a whole pig area.
Yeah. Stay in the pig area.
They got all sorts of animals. It's a farm. It's fantastic. And now they have a brewery there, a 15-barrel brew house. And,
nice.
And I haven't heard about them yet, but they're also talking about adding a distillery. So they're going for the old Trinity there.
I want to go.
Right?
Gosh. Yeah.
It looks like a fantastic place. I gotta visit. But a friend of mine that I just mentioned, John Siskovich, is the farm manager down at this place in Kent, Connecticut. He also has a podcast. I'm a little cross-promoting here. Check it out. Farm Marketing Solutions. And his website is farmmarketingsolutions.com. So check him out.
Nice.
Mm. Let's do this, huh?
A little instant shout out.
Yeah.
So this isn't the field beer spelt?
No, so basically how it's explained on the website is they have, when they first opened a while back, way back in February, they introduced this beer, Field Beer Saison, and they are adding some ingredient to it with each season. You know, every few months they'll change it up. So the first one was oats. I know they tried one with spelt, and this latest one is with wheat.
Oh, so, there it is. I see it.
And they're tweaking the recipe too, which is kind of cool because you want to get feedback from the people that are drinking it. You know, you hope that you can, you know, the guy that is the home brewer, I believe his name is Derek. I don't have his last name here, but, you know, everyone starts from somewhere, and he's a fantastic brewer. He's actually a blogger too as well. And he is constantly just getting feedback from people, and he wants to produce, you know, beer that people are going to drink that, you know, it comes out well. So he's getting feedback, and he's tweaking the recipes, and he's trying different, you know, ingredients, and kind of a cool when a brewery wants to open that dialogue with people that are going to be drinking it, I just find that pretty cool.
I agree.
They care about you. I like being cared about. Okay. So it pours, and in the, you know, minute or so that I just finished pouring, the head is completely gone. It is absolutely gone. Almost like poured like a cider constantly. It's got some decent carbonation. Very nice straw colors. Kind of hazy. Maybe like a chill haze. In my Gandhi butt glass there.
Gandhi butt.
Boom.
Oh, the Gandhi butt.
Gandhi butt glass. Okay. It has a tartness off the nose. Citrusy. A little bit of lemon in there. I almost smells like it could be sour.
Taking a sip, yeah!
It's very bubbly.
Bubbly.
Yeah, you know what? This is kind of like if you talk to someone that isn't into sours, this is a good training wheels kind of sour. It's a little bit initially, and then it completely dries out and it goes away, which is a good thing.
I like the introductory style type.
This is a nice gateway to sours. You know, people don't like sour beers that because of, you know, they're thinking it's too, you know, like they don't enjoy the sourness taste. They're like, oh, how can you drink that? You know, just like IPAs, sour is almost like the next thing that as people are drinking now, it takes a little bit of an adjusting of your palate when you take the first sip and it, you know, you get it on like the sides of your tongue and it's, you know, it almost gives you like the sour sweats. Like you feel like you put in like some
the sour
patch
sweats.
Kicks,
the sour sweats.
You get them. And then, like, you go for the next sip, and it's obviously not as, you know, harsh as the first, and then the next one, and it kind of mellows out.
Or the cramps in your cheeks start to fade.
Yeah.
You can start again.
Once you're done with the crybabies or the warheads or whatever you're drinking, chewing there. But no, this is it starts off, it has like that tartness to it, and then it dries up, probably from the yeast, the house strain that they've been using. Very dry.
I think we forget, too. Sorry to interrupt you there, but like just as craft beer drinkers, I think we forget how intense some of these things can be when we try to introduce them to someone else.
Right.
Like I think sometimes we do have to take a step back and like, oh, this beer's more mild version of the style that we're used to. Mm-hmm. This may be a better introduction to that style than what, oh, we think this is fantastic, and then we give it to someone like, oh, you know, make these crazy kind of contorted expressions, and I think we forget that we've kind of that some of this stuff
wrecked
is an acquired taste, you know. And I mean, it is. I mean, there's a lot of styles that are acquired tastes, and I think we forget that sometimes.
No, absolutely.
Sorry.
And for this time of year, it's right now. It's about, you know, it's consistently we're hitting a heat wave this week. It's like 85, 90 degrees. This is that kind of beer that you want to drink now. They just released, this is their latest release of the Field Beer Saison. And it comes out at a perfect time because the weather hasn't quite changed yet to the fall season. And this is refreshing. It's after mowing the lawn, you want to have one of these. Or at the end of the day, you know, a hot day and you've been outside and you want to sit down. It's the first beer that you have. There's a lot of carbonation. There's some citrusy, some lemon, a little bit of tartness, a little bit of maybe some green apple. Maybe that's the tartness that I'm getting. Almost like a touch of vanilla, too. It's very well balanced. It's not aggressive. It's quite refreshing, I have to say. Mm. And I'm not a big shandy guy, but this would kind of be my version of something that I guess, you know, people would say, oh, you know, I love, like, you know, those shandies. I love having a, you know, a Langenkugel's, you know, at the end of the day or whatever. I'm like, ah, oh, it's It sounds horrible. But, like, this would be something that I would love to have at the end of the day, because this is beer. And it's, like I said, kind of sparkling. It's refreshing. It has those cider qualities from, like, the green apple, but it is a beer. But I like the effervescence, too, that you get from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool right. Beans.
It's, on Beer Advocate.
Now, wait, what would you pair with it? Did you already give a food pairing?
Right, the pairing. I read the pairing.
Didn't say pears. He said lemons.
I said green apple. Actually.
Oh, green apples. Yeah.
I'd pair this
Granny Smith beer.
You know what?
Let's sounds good.
I'm gonna pair this with like a nice summer salad with some green apples in the salad. Maybe some cranberries, some walnuts.
Summer salad.
With some grilled chicken. Maybe some pine nuts. I don't know.
Hey, Summer, want a salad?
with a light vinaigrette. Raspberry vinaigrette, possibly.
Sounds like the worst salad ever.
You're the worst salad.
Like anyone could ever know that.
I'm doing it. I'm staying healthy. I'm happy with that pairing.
Sweet. Stupid salad. What happened to the pig area?
Yeah. Go back to that.
Some charred pig on that salad.
Yeah.
This would pair with some charred snout.
I'll tell you what. We'll change the salad to cabbage.
Give me a pig
and then we'll
here.
Throw the throw some
mayo
on
that lettuce. Make it some coleslaw. Put it on some pulled pork.
Sweet. Now we're talking.
That's it. All right. So Beer Advocate is no help at all because...
They never are.
This is so new.
Did I say that out loud?
You did. That was your outside voice. No ratings for the users or the bros. That's it. Nothing. Zeros across the board. And as I look to... the world of Untapped, I see that out of 186 beers,
whoa,
check-ins, no, look at that.
Still doesn't register?
149 ratings added just in July 30th, 2015, just recently
wow.
added.
Wow.
So, there you
what
go.
What was the rating?
I should mention that. 3.79. 149
not
ratings.
Not bad.
So, there you go. Popular locations to drink this beer.
Connecticut.
It's
just a bunch of giraffes hanging out.
Beacon, New York. The Owl Farm in Brooklyn, New York, which actually I've heard is a great place to check out. I haven't been there yet, but I've heard
good
things.
The Owl Farm?
Yeah. They're doing a whole, like, sour thing.
Who raises owls?
Sounds very exciting. And, man, I get the names that I can't pronounce. What the heck? Shatsies? Shatsies.
That sounds like something my grandmother would say if she won a game or something.
Shatsies! That sounds like something you have after you have too many pulled pork tacos.
I got the Shatsies again.
You got the old Shatsies.
Shatsies.
And that's in Poughkeepsie, New York, for anyone.
I wanted to stay in the pig area. And they got the Shatsies.
I think I saw Bukowski's on that list somewhere.
Yeah, Bukowski's on there. Yep.
Nice.
Lord Hobo. Bukowski's. Another one.
Ooh. You know, Lord Hobo, I just saw a beer just recently. Lord Hobo Brewing Company, which seemed interesting to me. Hmm. So I don't know if they're actually collaborating with somebody. We'll talk about that later.
Hmm. But yeah, there you go. There's my, we'll have to piece this together. I'm not sure what was, salvageable from the first link, but we made it happen, guys. We made it happen.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And that's what you call.
We push on.
My tasting flight.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Back to you in the studio.
Gemini Lounge. a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Howdy, folks. This is Toby out in San Diego, California.
So now you're out west, you gotta talk all hi, y'all, and howdy, folks.
I'm in the Sierras.
Oh, Eastern Sierras? For Western Sierras.
For my tasting flight here on Hoppy Camper, I am trying Mammoth Brewing Company's Wild Sierra. Sorry, Wild Sierra Mountain impression. Farmhouse Ale. And this is a new brewery. That's right, Mammoth Brewing Company. They're out of Mammoth Lakes, California. I don't know how long they've been brewing, but they, I just started seeing them when I moved back to San Diego a year ago, so, this Wild Sierra Mountain Farmhouse Ale, or sorry, Farmhouse Saison Ale comes in at 7.5% ABV, with 30 IBUs.
Sorry, the malts. There's a mammoth. Apparently, there's a mammoth in my basement.
The malts are top secret. The hops are top secret. That's what they say on their website. Their website is Mammoth Brewing
Co. What is this crap? I mean, in this day and age where you basically, like, really? It's like, what are you, the freaking colonel?
Secrets do not
with your freaking secret herbs and spices?
Okay. Anyway. So, their website says that the malts and the hops are top secret, but on the bottle, it says that they use...
So, they're top secret until you purchase a bottle.
Exactly.
And then all will be revealed.
Yeah. They use local ingredients.
Well, that narrows it down.
That's cool. It's brewed with Pilsner malt, rye malt, Vienna malt, lightly kilned crystal malts, fresh pine needles, and it's fermented using a blend of two yeast, a Belgian ale and a Saison yeast.
It sounds like they ran out of stuff. Like, hey, we have some pine needles here.
Yeah. Hey, it's the Wild Sierras.
What do we got in the cupboard?
So,
I got an old boot. Yeah, throw it in.
MammothBrewingCo.com is their website. Bite.
Got a new bottle cap here. You got some jerky. You threw it in.
Look at that smoky flavor.
This is a 22 ounce. Alright. Oh, very clear. Super clear.
Whoa.
I don't know if you guys can see that.
I can. It looks like a light bulb.
So, yeah, super clear. It's very yellow. It's,
what'd you call me?
It's a golden.
You call me yellow?
It's a pale orange. Not so much yellow. Yeah, like a pale orange color. I got about a solid human finger, very foamy, white head.
It's like half a Brufus finger.
I like that we specify that it's a human finger.
Yes. Well, you have to.
That we still do that.
There's so many different measurements. There's a Yeti finger. There's a Brufus finger.
We do use the Yeti system.
Yeah.
We don't use the human system. We usually use the Yeti system.
That's why I have to specify human because people would just assume I'm talking Yeti.
Then people get confused with the Brufus conversion to Yeti. It gets kind of tough.
It's like metric system.
It's a standard metric thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The Brufus sausage finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, on the nose, it's very bready.
Is that your more sensitive nostril there on the right side?
Yeah, it's my right.
We were discussing this last week.
You have more sensitive
nostrils. I go left, he goes right.
You go left.
we were also talking about our batting stance, right? Is that what it was, Tony?
Yeah.
I'm a lefty.
You are?
Yep.
Are you a left nostril or a right nostril?
Oh, that's good. You know what? I don't know. I think I tried both just because I think...
Oh, then you're doing it wrong.
Not that great.
So, yeah, lots of...
just start doing this, or just hold one side or the other. Now, what can you smell in the left nostril? Now, how about the right?
So, I'm getting lots of clove. I get some grassiness.
What do you get out of the left nostril? What are you sowing?
Nothing.
Not much.
Smells like goobers.
Yeah, there's just lots of clove and a little bit of fruitiness and some breadiness. My head has dissipated. Got some decent lacing though. Not too bad.
That's a good t-shirt design right there.
Yeah, you like that?
My head is dissipated.
Oh.
Oh, right. Yes, your t-shirt design is nice, too. I have an old-school Beer Coasters t-shirt, but you can't really see it because like faded.
Totally faded.
Can't see shit.
All right. Taking a sip, and then I'm going to pour Gina a glass because she's looking at me.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Upon sip.
Upon ye sip.
The clove comes through.
Francis.
I gotta hurry up and do this. Or else I'll never get
You're not gonna break into Pee-wee? Come on.
No.
Come on. Give me a Pee-wee quote.
No. I'm trying to use the phone!
Trying to do my tasting plan.
Yes, dear? Yeah. They're doing all these Pee-wee quotes and they're...
I said, all right.
I paid the food. Don't eat my cereal.
Yeah. There's not so much...
All right, Spec.
Did you hear that?
Oh. Just that quote. The whole scene of the movie's going through my head.
Is there something you'd like to share with us? The rest of us, amazing?
Sorry.
Andy.
Mr. Herman, you have a telephone call at the front desk.
Paging Mr. Herman.
All right. So it's pretty clean, but there is a slight stickiness, and at first sip, it's nice, and it's got a nice bite and nice little zip to it. There's a nice little fruitiness. There's not a whole lot of banana, but there is still some clove. Gina mentioned bubblegum, and yes, there is a little bit of that of a bubblegum in there. And I did get a really quick hint of like a grassy pininess, but it was real flat, real fast. It didn't linger at all. I like the nose. It's nice, and it's like it's very aromatic and like floral and fruity. And
is this like a limited release?
Bready?
I don't see it on their website.
I missed it. Did you say that it was a?
It's a farmhouse
sale.
Farmhouse saison, yeah.
Gotcha.
Um. Yeah, and they do... Oh, no, they use a wild yeast that's harvested off of the local pinyon pine needles in the brewing process.
That's cool.
So the it also contains lactobacillus, which I'm not really getting a whole lot of the tartness that you get out of that kind of a of that kind of wild yeast, but
horse blanket maybe.
No, this is pretty straight across the board farmhouse to me. I mean, it's very fruity and clean and it's really nice. It's actually very well balanced, very drinkable. Still has nice big flavors and aromas and everything. It's nice. It is definitely a bouquet, I would say.
Of pine needles.
Food pairing. I would stay light.
Like Mr. T cereal?
No.
Maybe a foot long hot dog?
Sap?
What? She wants sap?
She's saying maybe I missed sap.
Well, how about just yeah. having it with pancakes?
Yeah, she's suggesting sap as the pininess. And yeah, I can kind of see that. Yeah, kind of resiny, but it's not. Nice. It's
not in a bad way.
Yeah, no.
Is there any bad resin, dude?
Old steel resin, maybe. food pairing. Yeesh. Chicken Caesar.
What?
Yeah.
Chicken Caesar.
Chicken Caesar sandwich.
Is there such a thing?
I wouldn't have
Did
it
you just
any
make
way.
That up?
Sure. No, I think it was at Subway chicken one time, a long time ago.
Chicken Caesar wrap.
Okay, yes. There you go.
There you go.
Chicken That's Caesar wrap.
Because you don't make a sandwich.
My taste of flight is a wrap. This is a wrap. We're done.
Speaking of wraps, this show is a wrap.
This show is a wrap.
Let me get some ratings for you real quick. Let's see. Wild Sierra Mountain Farmhouse Ale from Mammoth Brewing Company on Untappd comes in at a 3.57 out of 2,527 ratings. Top three popular locations. There's only four, so I'll say all four of them. The Bluesapalooza in Mammoth Lakes, California. The Mammoth Brewing Company in Mammoth Lakes, California. The Local Peasant in Woodland Hills, California. And the Whoa, Nelly Deli in Lee Vining, California.
Whoa, Nelly Deli. Sweet.
I have no, no
beer advocate.
Beer advocate.
That's fine. It's okay. I'm thinking about dumping it altogether. Lemon pepper chicken. It is season 7 after all.
Gina's pairing it with lemon pepper chicken. On
okay.
On the grill. Aiden_Abed says, nothing like getting a beer in my mom, GMBW.
Tweet of the week, yeah.
All right, everybody, last call.
All right, there you have it. That's my Disney flight. Up next.
Almost in tune there for a second.
Almost.
Almost. A little pitchy dog.
All right, guys. Let's do some ratings on this 301st episode of the Beer Coasters podcast, Hoppy Camper issue. Mikey, what you got for ratings?
You want to do me first? I didn't even try the Fire Rock, so I can't do that.
So you'll be quick.
I will be quick. So, My Great Divide, Whitewater. Man, I'm so disappointed. There was a little bit of sweet wheat in the aroma. The aroma was actually
some
really
what?
Nice.
Some sweet what?
Sweet wheat.
Wheat.
I couldn't understand you for a second there.
The aroma was nice, but man, it just fell apart in the flavor. It had that metallic-y-ness to it on the tongue that I didn't care for it. I hate to say it. I mean, I really like Great Divide beers, and I hate to poo-poo this beer, but I'm gonna give it a 2.5. I did drink the whole thing. But I'm going to give it a 2.5. That's kind of a halfway point. I very rarely rate stuff lower than that. But I, it's not a drain pour, but it wasn't pleasant. And I'm hoping that I got a bad beer. I will give this a chance again if this ever comes up, like on tap, or if I can find another 6-pack of it somewhere. But, this one failed me.
Bummer.
Sorry, Great Divide.
It's okay.
As much as I love the Yeti, the Great Divide disappointed me this time.
Well, you know, the whole Yeti series is a beast all on its own. Pun definitely intended.
Pun intended. Yes.
So I don't know. I kind of set that whole thing aside and go, okay, these are safe. Those ones are safe. Also, the stuff.
There hasn't been a bad Yeti yet. But this one, man, I expected, I guess, maybe a little bit too much from this beer. I don't know.
I mean, a couple of the Great Divides, like, I'm a big fan of the Double Hercules and the Titan and the Yetis. But to be honest, like, the other ones I'll have, but I don't really, like, I think there's one called the Samurai. There's one called, like, the Colette or something like that.
Yeah, Colette.
I don't really remember those.
Colette, I think, was a Saison, wasn't it?
Was it? Yeah. I mean, I remember the Double Hercules. I'll snag. That's delicious. The Titan, I think, is great. The Yetis are awesome. But they can't all be, amazing. You know,
they can't all be Yetis.
They can't all be Yetis.
That's right. They can't all be Yetis.
That's a great t-shirt design.
Yeah, this is a great t-shirt design.
It cannot be Yetis.
Yep, cannot be Yetis. Beer Coasters Podcast. We can't all be Yetis.
So, what about your ratings there, Tony?
For me, the first one we had was the Kona Fire Rock.
Yes, indeed.
It was a little misleading because, as we were talking about the ingredients and what it was, I think we call it an APA, which is...
Amber Pale Ale?
Well, APA, they call it American Pale, but that would actually be more accurate, honestly, to what you're saying. It'd be more like an Amber Pale Ale because it falls into that category of Pale Ale, but because possibly of the dark malts that they used...
Brewed with lava, that's why.
Hot actually, magma.
They do brew with a hot rock sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But,
magma.
It's more like an amber. And I think that's... It just, once you kind of adjust and you think, okay, well, this isn't exactly a pale ale because of the malts. It's more like an amber. It drinks great. It's got that fruity sweetness. A little bit malt forward, if that's what you're looking for. I'd like it, but I'd probably... If I was out at a bar or something, I would get that. But now that I know that it's more of an amber, and if I'm looking for something a little bit more refreshing or something that has a little bit more to it, I probably would avoid it. But I'm not saying it's not a solid beer for what it is. It's more of like an amber. It's got that heavy maltiness. And, it probably would switch it up. Like if you just did a stout and you're looking for something different, or if you just did a pale ale and you're looking for something a little bit more body, then this is what you get. You get the fire rock.
Yeah.
For my ratings, I would say I'd give it a 3.5. It didn't wow me, but it didn't wasn't bad. It was solid. Right there, 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Good beer. My other beer, the Kent Falls Field Beer Saison Batch Number 5. This is kind of an enigma because it doesn't really fall into any, honestly, particular category of beer. You know, you have your sour ales and you have your... They call this a Saison. I wouldn't call this a Saison. If you have, like, Allagash Saison, they have theirs. You know, if you have something like that style, then that comes across as a lot of clove, maybe some peppery notes, maybe some rye notes. And has I always use the word, like, the adjective, like, spicy when I'm having a Saison. This is none of those things. This isn't peppery. This isn't really spicy.
Mm.
But it's fantastic. Like, it's really good. It's light and refreshing. It's almost like a full-bodied Berliner Weiss. It's got that tartness. Mm. It's got that green apple. There is a little bit of clove. Some subtle vanilla notes, like, towards the end. A lot of carbonation, but like I said, like, you know, the head dissipated very quickly, and it was refreshing. Like, I would love to have one of these on a hot day, which is exactly what we're going through right now, which is probably why they released it right around now.
So, could have renamed it the Burly Berliner.
The Burly Berliner. The Burly Inner Vice.
The Burly Inner Vice.
So, yeah. Kudos to them, and I'm going to give this a 4. I think this would be good. A good beer. I wouldn't want to drink this during the winter season because, again, it has that sort of refreshing tartness to it, but it's not so sour that it's not for the just for people that are, like, sour fans. This is for, honestly, anybody that wants to give something a try that is curious about sour stuff.
Cool.
For the sour curious.
Sour curious.
Ah, curious. Sour curious.
So for my ratings, for the Kona Brewing Fire Rock, yeah, I'm with you, Tony. It's kind of like what we were saying during the tasting, is that it's more of a full-bodied pale ale, and with those dark malts, I think it did add some more, a different kind of twist to the typical pale ale. This, yeah, I would totally, if I was in the mood for an amber, I would go with something like this and, you know, not even think twice. I would just be like, all right, yeah, this is kind of along those lines, so yeah, I'll drink that. This is like beer that I see getting it by the pitcher while you're shooting pool or something like that. You know, it's good. It's
you didn't pair it with a game of pool now, did you?
No.
Maybe you should have.
But I think I liked it a little less than Tony. I'm gonna go with a 3. I think it's solid, and I think it's a very well made beer. There's really nothing wrong with it, but for a pale ale along those lines, I think that
opens up some for discussion. Maybe not this week, but sometime. Like, what does a brewery have to do to
make me happy?
To make a pale ale stand out in this day and age. You know, it's like, it seems like if they do something a little too different, then people are going to say, well, this isn't a pale ale. It's more like this. It's more like that.
I think that we're the people that are saying that. I think a lot of people out there that are kind of the pedestrian beer drinkers, I think, are more, you know, this would be something that might be a little too heavy for them, and they would go, oh, well, I thought this was a pale ale, you know, I'm used to this and this and this, or, you know, whatever brewery I like has a good pale ale, and that's, they're cool with that. But when they come at something like this, I think, yeah, Mike, I think with people like us that have these wrecked palates, you know, or we've had, you know, we are nitpicking, and we get to the point where we're just like, no, if you're going to call it a pale ale, it needs to be like this. There's certain
this and this and this. But then again, if it did have all those things that we talked about, would it be just, you know, a pale ale that just kind of gets lost in the mix of, you know,
thousands and thousands of pale ales that all kind of taste similar, you know? And yeah. That's kind of where what I'm getting at. It's like,
okay.
What do they have to do to be a little bit different of a pale ale, but yet still stay within the confines of what people consider a pale ale?
Maybe that's what they did here, is they wanted to stand out by throwing in those dark malts and giving it a little bit more ABV and a little bit more body. So in that sense, maybe I should rate it higher. But this is something that I probably wouldn't seek out regularly. It's something that I would definitely drink again. You know, it's not something I'm going to avoid from now on. I think it's something I would recommend to people. The only way I think that I can find it here is through their variety packs. The Kona variety pack, where they have the four different beers. The Longboard, the Castaway. No, the Wailua wasn't in there. So I don't know if this is just a normal pack and without a seasonal, because it's their, yeah, it's the Longboard, the Fire Rock, the Big Wave Golden Ale, and the Castaway IPA. So it's kind of like their normal whatever brewer select mix pack. And I think that's the only way I can get the Fire Rock now is through that. Because I did find six packs of the Castaway, and I found six packs of the Big Wave, but not this one. So maybe it just depends where you go, where you shop around. But I think Kona is kind of along the lines of Sam Adams with their styles and how they contribute to the beer community. I think they can brew some pretty solid beers, and the fact that they have different breweries around the country, and I'm sure they've got a quality control that's similar to breweries like Sam Adams, where, you know, you're going to get kind of the same thing no matter where you go. As far as, you know, you probably won't find too many things from them that are adventurous other than this one, you know, being a little bit different of a pale ale. So that's my rant. But anyway, I don't think that they're a bad brewery. I think they do good stuff. They've been around for a while. And I know, well, what I was thinking of earlier was that people, I think, can... I think there's a lot of Kona fans out there, and people that will buy Kona and drink it because they know what they're going to get. With a, even though it's a pale ale, they might not know any better. They might not have had 100 pale ales like we've had, and they'll go, "This is, to me, this is a pale ale because I like this brewery or whatever." So, I don't know what I'm getting at.
Sorry. You're kind of straying off the path there. Rein you back in.
For my other beer. Jeez.
Oh,
20 minutes later.
You still got another one to review?
The Mammoth Brewings.
What time is it?
Wild Sierra. This is actually very good. I think this might be my first Mammoth beer. Or no, maybe I've had another one, but this is really good. It's a pretty solid farmhouse. It's pretty good to the style. I like the fruitiness. I like the easy drinkability. I like the aromas, all that stuff. It's pretty good. It's definitely something I would try again. So I don't see anything wrong with giving it a 4.5. I really like it. It's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not perfect, but still awesome.
Yeah. And I hope to try more from these guys, because I have seen other stuff from them here in San Diego. I think I've even seen them at beer festivals, or even had maybe some of their stuff at beer festivals, but who remembers those?
Cool.
Anyway, let's do some shout-outs.
Yeah,
now that
sure.
I'm done ranting. I won't do any shout-outs. I'll save my shout-outs for another time. You guys go ahead and shout out. I've talked enough.
Oh, okay.
Tony's taking over.
I give a shout-out to Scott Allen. Also, Keg Kingdom. Bucket Beer. Oh, sorry, I don't have the whole thing open here.
Chelsea Markle, Avenue Liquors, Pat F., also known as the Turf Hulk. And let's see. I want to give a big shout out to Boulevard Brewing Company. I had a pre-show beer, and they favorited the tweet right away. So I'm giving a shout out to Boulevard Brewing Company. Even though, if they're listening, I did the pop-up beer a couple shows ago. So go check that out.
Sweet. Beer's ball. Beer's ball 2.
Boom. Yeah. Coming at you. For my shout-outs, I'd like to give a big shout-out to a brewfest that I went to this last weekend that actually quasi-involved the brewfest. He actually couldn't make it up from Maryland, but he contributed. Some friends of mine in the CT Brew Crew, CT Beer Community.
CT Brew Crew?
CT Brew Crew! Ran one of the very smoothest brewfests that I've been a part of. One of the guys that was involved, his son is suffering from a disease. I don't have a name in front of me. It's called SMS is the abbreviation. But this was kind of an honor of raising money for his son. They called it the Connecticut Hops for Hope. And it was just really cool because when you first started drinking beer and you thought of like craft beer and drinking local, and you got to know these like passionate people that put so much into just something simple as beer, and you kind of surrounded yourself with all these types of people. It's kind of like it was a big old like beer family reunion, because all those people that you had met along the way stepped up and really contributed, from just reps to brewers to people that just like to drink beer and want to volunteer. It was a fantastic event. They had limited releases, from Connecticut breweries like Beard Brewing, and then like places in Massachusetts like Treehouse was there, and like Trillium, rare stuff, really cool stuff. Some new breweries that haven't even like opened yet, like Lasting Brass, that's gonna be opening up on the Waterbury Watertown line, doing just delicious sours. Ed Silva over there at Lasting Brass, Black Hog, new brewery. Kent Falls was there, releasing a brand new IPA. They raised, between the ticket sales, 100% of the ticket sales went towards the research of this disease, and they raised over $32,000. So a big, wow. big shout out to the Connecticut nice. Hops for Hope and all the guys involved. It was a really cool event.
Awesome.
Another shout out that I want to give is, I said it earlier, but John Siskovich, who's the farm manager up at the Camps Farm, which is the farm for Kent Falls Brewing. He's got an awesome podcast. You got to check it out, called Farm Marketing Solutions. You can check it out at farmmarketingsolutions.com. He's a great dude. Give it a listen. You won't be disappointed. So shout out to those guys. And Mike kind of covered a couple of the guys that had toasted and favorited and retweeted some of the things. Some other people. Noble Jesse. Noble J. Yeah, Noble Jesse. Noble J. Who else we got? The Brewery Show. Dustin Tatil. Hops and Branding. And we'll give a shout out to Mark Sear. And Nicole Edmonds, Jeff Schmidt, and I'll give it a big old shout out to the Beer Coasters.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Tony.
You're always having fun drinking.
So you give a shout out to yourself?
Drinking beer is cool.
Am I a Beer Coaster? Whoa, yeah. Is this happening now?
Is this your honorary show, guys, where we take the bottle and like smash it over his head or something?
Yeah.
This is your show. I'm just
gonna smash it over his head. We should have done that to Crazy Dave. Damn it.
Yeah. Smash it over his head. Although the maiden voyage was long ago.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for another great show.
You.
And thanks everybody out there for listening and sticking around. We got some cool ideas coming up for season 7. And also want to let you know you can check us out on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. Check Stitcher. Out our YouTube channel.
Stitcher.
And we're on Stitcher. That's right. We're on Stitcher now.
All you Android users like and Stitcher. So check us out.
And here. We're on Untappd. Sure. You got to find Beer Coaster Mike on Untappd. You got to find Beer Coasters on Untappd. Tony L on Untappd.
We're also on a few other things. We should probably make a huge list sometime because there's some odd websites that seem to have our episodes on, and one of these days I'm going to kind of list them all.
So well, go down the most important one that has our shows on is beercoasterspodcast.com. So
yeah, that's a cool one.
Make
like
sure you go
one.
There. You can listen to all 300 episodes. At beercoasterspodcast.com. Subscribe.
301.
That's right. You can subscribe in iTunes. And it's free. It's free to subscribe in iTunes. Get all the shows. It's right
free.
There.
Not free for us, but free for you.
Yes. The listeners. And it's no longer free for Tony. No.
Nope.
He's now a
season subscriber.
A contributor. Official contributor.
Keep your receipts so you can have enough to heat your home in the wintertime. When you can't pay your fuel bill, you could just burn your receipts.
Oh. I thought you could like write this off.
Write it off.
Cool.
All right, cheers, cool. Guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks. The tin and the glass, they just don't quite work together.
No.
Paul's Merca! Paul's Merca!
'Make sure you do studio mic.
I wanted to stay in the pig area, and I got the shatsies.